Welcome to the Everyman Sports Podcast, the show for fans, by fans. No former pros, no so-called experts, just real passionate fans. From outside on a porch to inside a living room, in the parking lot of a stadium to the dining room table, friends and families chat about their teams, their games, and what makes them cheer. This is Everyman Sports.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Everyman Sports. My name is Chad. I'm the owner-operator of this podcast. Our number is 626-427-7678. That's 626-427-7678 to call and be a part of the show. You can also follow us on Twitter at Everyman Sports. This week, Happy New Year to everybody and Happy New Year to those who are listening. Here we are at a New Year's party with my dad. How you doing, Dad?
I'm doing great.
We also have Casey again. Welcome back.
How's it going?
We also have Jim. How you doing, Jim?
Good. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Doing well. So let's start off with, I'd like to review the past week. We're recording this on New Year's Day, so it's a Friday. And week 17 of the NFL is coming up, but I thought we'd just go back quickly, talk about week 16 in the NFL. We'll start off with the Jets-Patriots game. That was a big game we were talking about. I'm a Jets fan. I don't like the Patriots, and I was very happy to see the Jets beat the Patriots in overtime.
That's the kick-and-receive game.
That's the kick. It's going to go down in the wait, I thought we could kick in the overtime. Yeah, so apparently what happened, and you've heard about it all week and many, many different forms. Matthew Slater is a special teams guy for the Patriots, goes out there. They won the coin toss and said, do you want to kick or receive? We want to kick, and then he pointed that way. We want to kick it that way.
Right.
And all the referee needs to hear is kick. As soon as he says kick, everything else stops. You want to kick? All right, fine. And there's no like, no, I made a mistake.
Right.
That's in the rules. So.
All bets are off.
Oh, exactly. And so the Jets say, we want to take it this way, Matthew Slater. No. I thought we could pick which direction we want if we kick. But that only happens in the first.
Well, from what I heard is Belichick already told the officials his intentions if they won the coin toss. So that was a done deal. It wasn't a mistake.
And he has done it before.
And won.
Yeah. Okay.
But who knew it would be a touchdown?
Well, that was always great. As a Jet fan, listening to it in the car in the radio broadcast, that was very, very exciting to hear that happen. Right. Decker and Marshall just really... I mean, look, the Patriots didn't start a lot of people. And if it wasn't for Fitzpatrick fumbling a ball that was returned to a touchdown, that game would not have been as close as it was.
But he redeemed himself in overtime with a tremendous pass.
He did. A great pass. Great back of the end zone stuff. It was very, very exciting. So
the bomb.
But yeah, I heard a story that Belichick, after, I forget what year, it's one of those things I didn't do enough research on, but that something happened where they elected to receive the ball in overtime, and they immediately just fumbled it through an interception. It was a pick six or whatever. Right. So it's kind of thing like he went out, I'm never going to do that again. So,
but it disrespects offense.
It does.
Yeah, especially when you have Tom Brady, who, according to many, is the greatest. For him to, keep him, especially when they just scored to tie the game.
It's always a bad call when it doesn't work.
Right, and if you're somebody like Belichick who constantly overthinks and outcoaches everybody and even himself, it's one of those black marks.
Right. Well, even Frankenstein got off the table.
That's true. Also sticking with the New York sports, the Minnesota Vikings. Jim, you're a fan of the Minnesota Vikings. They whooped up on the Giants.
Oh, really?
In the non-Odell Beckham game.
One team needed it, the other one was packing it in.
Yeah, for real. And it really looks like that.
But what about this? Well, we'll talk about
this. Yeah, we'll talk about this the upcoming week. But, yeah, Minnesota put themselves in a beautiful position, not only to have a spot in the playoffs, they've actually moved up to the fifth spot.
And the Redskins took a head coach down.
And they finally let Bridgewater throw the ball.
Yes, he really did. I mean, there's a lot of people out there for him to throw to. Diggs and a lot of, yeah.
They used to find it a year, Diggs.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what they needed. The Redskins finally wrapped up the NFC East, which...
And Kelly's career.
And Chip Kelly's career. We'll get to that in a second.
I told you last week he was a chipmunk.
Right.
Cousins been spectacular the whole year.
Four touchdowns, two of them to Jordan Reed. I mean, I was worried that on the road...
Great young talent.
I was worried that on the road he wouldn't be able to do it, and he showed when the chips are down, you got to do it.
The chips are
down. When the chips are down.
More surprised by their defense.
Yeah. Absolutely, but also you could tell Phil who was the defensive player. Somebody on the Eagles defense basically decided in third quarter, I'm not playing anymore, and he sat himself out. He elected to take himself out.
That was their all-pro left tackle.
Yeah, just like, I'm not getting injured for this. So, I mean, that just shows you.
He quit on Kelly.
Yeah. And then, lo and behold, Chip Kelly has already been fired.
And the owner has already given group hugs to all the players.
And maybe it's going to see Titan next
week. So now the patient's won the asylum.
Well, with that, apparently it's because, now this happened at the beginning of the season where Chip Kelly was given the role of GM. And when an owner has to decide between a GM and a coach, and he chooses the coach, it's very hard to then immediately renege on that decision. But as you can tell, as you saw in the offseason, the Eagles kind of took their team apart. Chip Kelly was doing it for whatever reason. You want to call it racism, which is ridiculous. You want to call it for cronyism, where he wants to get his old Oregon players, okay. But then to have the owner go to him and say, look, we don't want you to be GM anymore. And him saying, well, I'm not going to do that. Okay, you're fired. Which I was very surprised.
So when you're
by.
Fired, you get all that money for the rest of the contract.
Yeah.
And you don't have to
until
work.
You get a new contract.
Oh, poor Chip Kelly.
But don't ever question what Lurie does, because there's no rhyme or reason to it ever.
But you know what? It was very interesting, because this is a man who held on to Andy Reid for, what, 12, 15, 30 years, it seemed like?
Right.
But he held on to him that long. I thought for certain, everybody's saying Chip Kelly needs to be fired. He didn't need to be fired. He needed to not be the GM.
Well, if he was a more personable individual,
yes.
More approachable in general, and still did the same things, it would have been tolerated.
But when the players go over his head and go directly to the manager and the owner, it's writing's on the wall.
Sounds like Jerry Jones.
Pretty much.
Like you said, when he was, you know, kind of dismantling the team, you look at the guys he traded away, how many of those guys are in the playoffs now?
A couple.
You know.
But, I mean, we can honestly say that LeSean McCoy won, but that was a pretty good decision.
Yeah.
That wasn't bad.
but if it wasn't for injuries, you don't know where they'd be.
That's true. I mean, that's been the story of the season. Blind refs and injured superstars.
All-pro.
You could put a Pro Bowl team together with just, oh, my goodness.
Stop showing us replays, and they can rough the game any way they want.
That's right. Another surprise in week 16, the Pittsburgh Steelers lose on the road to the Ravens.
Yes.
Ravens always play. I know.
That's great.
Casey's a big Ravens fan.
They played strong throughout.
They did. And, I mean, Roethlisberger, he had less than 100 yards passing.
Was that his bounce game?
I guess.
He had been doing so well for
it's
so long.
It's the first time he wasn't injured on any injury reports that week, too.
Yeah.
Then he got his feelings hurt.
Yeah.
Every time he gets hurt, he plays great.
But this time he wasn't. But the Ravens, I mean, they fought for Harbaugh. I know now they're talking about John Harbaugh either is going to get fired or quit or whatever he's going to do. But, I mean, this was kind of like their Super Bowl.
And well, that's the difference in respect between Philly and Baltimore.
Yeah.
But Baltimore and New York Giants had the most injuries in the league.
Yeah.
So I know they don't like to use those excuses for themselves, but you can see it.
But you look around the league. I mean, that's the reason why the Cowboys, you know, are 5-11,
right.
10, whatever they are. So. Yeah. But because of that loss, that actually puts the Jets in the driver's seat for the sixth and final playoff spot.
They have to win.
Baltimore lose, but it's most likely, Pittsburgh needs to lose, but it's most likely Pittsburgh's going to win, so the Jets have to win to stay in, which is going to be tough. And
are the Steelers still in it, though, depending on if, I think the Bengals
no.
game?
No.
Jets have to lose.
Oh,
everybody
it's the Jets?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
It's. I mean, the Bengals pretty much have that wrapped up, even though they lost in Denver.
There's only one slot left open.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that is. I mean, the Denver-Cincinnati game.
No, that overtime game.
Overtime game. Two understudies, you want to call them. They're not just backups. These are guys who have been groomed for their position, A.J. McCarron and Brock Osweiler. They finally actually, they played a very good game.
Is Osweiler Nick Foles? That's my question.
That's a very good question.
It's hard to tell, but with their offensive line, you know, he gets time. One time years ago, one of the best quarterbacks in the league, Sonny Jurgensen said that the difference between me and a so-called second-rate quarterback is a half a second.
Yeah.
Right.
You get an extra half a second in this league, you're as accurate as can be. You wouldn't be a pro.
That's right.
Well, I remember a story about Jurgensen, because they switched off with Kilmer when they were Washington Redskins. They had two quarterbacks, and they asked Kilmer if Jurgensen had a drinking problem. He says, I don't know, but I get drunk on what he spills.
That's funny. Also, very surprisingly, the Seahawks lose at home to the Rams.
Rams got their number.
Rams, they do.
Swept them this year.
And the Rams are the most average team until the end of each year, and then Fisher like wins four straight. I look at them the next year and say that's the team on the improve, and then they fall on their face.
Maybe
the last four games.
Maybe they should move to L.A. It might get them over the hump.
Todd Gurley is a joy to watch.
He's very good. He's a lot better than Melvin Gordon. I'll tell you that much.
They have very underrated wide receivers too. To include the much traveled punishing runner.
Yeah,
he's
talented.
Yeah. They're very good. So
when Britt's on the field and not involved with legal issues.
Yeah, well that though.
Stay away from the car, you'll be fine.
But that loss to Seattle, that loss for Seattle puts them in the sixth seed,
right.
Which
they'll
is
be playing the Redskins only, with their run
only
game.
Only
if Minnesota loses.
Right.
If Minnesota loses, they'll get the sixth seed.
Right.
Seattle beat them heads up.
About time the Vikings win in Packers.
Well, and speaking of the Packers, they got beat up by Arizona. Nine sacks. Rodgers got sacked nine times against Arizona.
Nine times, but they had one offensive line starter playing the game.
Yeah.
They're decimated by injury, too.
They are decimated. It's bad.
And the Vikings should take advantage this week.
Right. Well, let's talk about week 17 now. And so we've got it's the Sunday night game. It got flexed. Minnesota at Green Bay. Green Bay already beat Minnesota in the University of Minnesota Stadium. And now they're looking like the return. Minnesota's the hot team. Green Bay is, they are just flopping around like a dead fish.
Well, it's the exact opposite of the first time they two played. Green Bay was on a two-game losing streak. Minnesota was on a five-game winning streak.
Yeah.
The writing was on the wall for Green Bay. Their backs were to the wall. They had to come up with something, and they put a whomping on Minnesota. Minnesota's not built to come back from a two-touchdown deficit in any game. They just ride the wave. They hand the ball to Peterson, and he's only thrown on third down or...
They're stalkers. They're not closers.
Up until last week when they let him go. And when he started passing the ball down the field, it opened up the whole game.
It's true.
They had 200 yards rushing. AP had 104, so they were getting it from somewhere else, too.
Right. Now, if the Seahawks win, which they should, I think they're facing...
They should?
Well, they should. I think so.
That's
they taking
crazy off? Line change. It started with the Cardinals favored by two.
But we've had this conversation before. Like I'm not saying rest the players, but at a certain point, like Seattle's got more to play for. Do they want to play either the hot Vikings or Green Bay, who's in the playoffs at home, one of those two, or do you want to go to Washington to play the
better match to do that?
Yeah, I mean, so I think Seattle. You know, we've had this conversation, but I think Seattle kind of wants it more.
Sure, they do.
Yeah. And
they're getting 6.5.
And I think they want to prove. I think they want to show something on the road.
They have something to prove against Arizona, number one, because I believe they've lost 5 out of the last 6 games to them.
Yeah.
And Arizona's a powerhouse this year. Now, whether
great offense.
Yeah, whether they want to rest their guys or not, don't forget, there's no Marshawn Lynch playing.
That's true.
And Rawls, I think, is out for the year.
Yeah.
So they're on a third string running back. If you can't run the ball against Arizona, you're not throwing it.
No, that's true.
I think Chancellor's hurt now too, isn't it?
Yeah, Cam Chancellor's banged up. Yeah. But I, you know,
they're suspect. Like they're like the same situation that the Packers were in.
Yeah. Right. Now, if it is basically if it turns out in the first round of the playoffs that the Vikings and Packers play each other again, that's going to be the I believe 15th time since 1991. 15th
time.
And
who wins most of them?
You know, I haven't done the research. The last time it happened was 2012. Vikings played the Packers in Week 17 and then in the wild card round.
Well, the only way that's going to happen is if the Vikings lose.
Right.
So if they lose, that means Green Bay beat them twice, and it's very hard to beat a team three times
no
matter where they play.
Very, very tough.
Well, there you go. Enough on the Vikings, Jim. I mean,
okay, we can move on.
No, that's just an interesting point of fact. All right, some other games. And no, really, is the – I mean, that if it wasn't going to be Packers-Vikings in the Sunday night game, it was going to be Jets-Buffalo.
Correct.
Jets-Bills.
That's a very interesting game.
In Buffalo, Rex versus his old team.
But Shane Gailey, the former head coach of the Bills, had Fitzpatrick there as the quarterback. They both got the boot. A little payback time.
Yeah. I mean, Fitzpatrick's been playing so well, that Jets offense, I'm so happy to actually say that sentence. Their Jets offense have been playing so well.
Yeah, they couldn't cover 3.5 in Miami with that mix of extra points. But forget about that.
Well, actually, I think it says something about the Jets defense, which is better than a Rex Ryan defense, for sure,
right?
As it is now.
Yeah.
Yeah, no question. They really stepped it up.
Right. I mean, those are really the two games that have... I mean, there's... Because actually the AFC South isn't figured out yet. It's still Tennessee or Texans.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. That's kind of like, yeah. That's
Colts or Texans.
How about the Patriots whooping up on Miami?
That's
the
right.
The line's likely. 10, but that's a home field advantage.
Right. Well,
throughout.
Yeah, so what pick? What are your picks this week?
That's what I'm liking right there.
You like New England giving 10?
I do like it. I like the Jets.
The Jets are giving 2.5. Right. So Buffalo's a home dog.
They are a home dog.
Home underdog.
You know, so
they deserve to be.
Yeah.
This is when and you're in on a team that's looking better.
Yeah, you're right.
I don't know if you guys noticed, though, this year, all the teams that had to win just about didn't.
Yeah.
Every time there was something on the line for them to either lock up something like Pittsburgh or something, the teams that needed to win haven't got it done, and against really lesser opponents.
Yeah.
So it's surprising.
It is absolutely surprising. Well,
I'm liking the Chiefs. They've won 9 in a row, and it's a powerful gambling theory. Win 9, win 10.
Win 9, win 10.
So I'm liking that.
Yeah, but they got the guy that drives the car, too. The quarterback just drives the car. Right. You know, they don't give him anything to...
No
chancy stuff, you know.
No.
He's blue chip.
Yeah, absolutely.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, they're going up against stocks. You know,
they're hosting the Raiders, the hated Raiders.
Who's that?
The Chiefs.
Yeah,
Chiefs.
Hey, they're any given day on the Raiders.
Oh gosh, especially Carr.
Talented.
Amari Cooper, Murray in the back. They've got a good
triumph. But if you remember last year, the Raiders won in Kansas City. I think it was like a Monday night game.
Yeah,
one of those night games.
Yeah,
maybe it was Thursday, but this is payback.
That's
they
right.
They'll have their
well,
attention.
The Chiefs are strange though, because look at the game they played against San Diego that went down to the wire. I mean,
San Diego's
having the worst year they've had in 20 years.
Yeah,
it's bad.
That game could have been won at the end.
Yeah,
wasn't for that referee flag, they would have been in overtime.
But they'll be packing that moving van, maybe going to LA.
It's either the Raiders,
but
the Chargers,
or the
Rams.
The NFL scheduling, if you look at every single game, is divisional.
Yeah. And they did that purposely.
They do it purposely, yeah.
I love it. That's why I want to stay divisional. If you so much you have a crappy record, you win the division, you're in the playoffs.
I agree.
You need divisional football.
Because look,
it's like interleague baseball. It doesn't work.
Look, I'll bring up the points again. You know, you need that. Look, you win the division, no matter how bad the competition.
It's about divisional rivalries.
Look, Saints, I'll bring it up again. Saints-Seahawks, the earthquake game where Marshawn Lynch rumbled off that 90... And it caused a tremor on the Richter scale in Seattle. And then there was last year with the Cardinals. They won. They were wild card, but they were like what 11-5.
Correct.
And they go to a 9-7 Panther team. But hey, they won their division.
Yeah. Well, the Rams. The Rams. The year they were 7-9.
That's
remember they won that cheap division.
Yeah.
And they got and they won the first round
no,
game.
No, that was the Seahawks
against
the Saints. Yeah. So that's big. All right, so you like the Jets, you like the Chiefs, and
what
you like
what if you did a
England?
Setup like soccer, like how they have kind of a minor league system? So like if you don't make the cut, your team gets sent down to the league below. New teams.
Oh, relegated.
You know, because some of these divisions this year were just embarrassing. You got to have better competition.
But the drawback to that is then when you've got free agency, who's going to want to go to a second tier team?
Correct.
No matter how much money they can.
Is that like being voted off the island?
Yeah, pretty much, but you get to come back.
Yeah, but you can always make sure that the second tier teams get all the draft picks.
You know what? That's
and then you can build up your own team and make your way up.
That's a good point. It's never going to happen, though.
Because
there's not enough, like soccer. Like, you don't need any gear. There's just a ball and a net, and you need somewhere to play. And there are thousands of teams.
That's why it's all over the world.
Yeah. Yeah, it's you just need
one ball.
Yeah.
That's why basketball's popular.
Yeah, because you don't need a lot of space.
Equipment.
Except the sneakers cost $1 million.
Well, that too. That's fashion now.
Is that why only white people ski?
Well, pretty
much.
Expensive. You're not wrong. Let's go over to baseball for a minute. The big news is that the Yankees traded for Aroldis Chapman. And
that's big news.
White beater.
Seems like it. Again, you know, we talked about this last episode because the Dodgers, that deal fell through, and then they gave up Aroldis Chapman for like four, not like just middle
they
of the road.
Salary.
Yeah, I think guy was in the top 100.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they knew that the price had dropped dramatically. The Dodgers didn't want to take on that But now the Yankees are looking at the resurgence of basically a Stanton, Nelson, Rivera of the late 90s, early 2000s, where shorten the game to six innings, which makes sense. Look, Von Nova gets hurt a lot.
That's the future, right?
CC yeah. Sabathia is a big question mark now, and I don't just mean that because of his body size. You've got...
lost a lot of weight.
So much for complete games when you got four guys after you.
You don't need complete games when you got those three guys.
Yeah.
You don't.
Yeah. Wins aren't even a thing anymore.
No.
You don't change.
Only wins count that are in the standings.
Right, exactly.
Numbers are...
Is
this becoming more entertainment than sport?
Well, but isn't sports always entertainment? I mean, you look at the gladiators.
Drama.
Yeah, unless you're in the Olympics.
Yeah. Right. It's true. I don't know. Sorry, somebody from the country of Georgia when they're skiing.
Not exactly excited
for that.
Oh, I mean, it's one thing when you're going into the season and the only sure thing you have is a cast-off from Florida, Evaldi. You know, can throw. The rest of them are all question marks.
That's very true. That's been going on.
Severino, I think, will prove himself this year. He did really well.
Yeah.
If they don't trade him for pieces that they need.
It's true, yeah.
And they have a couple holes to fill.
They do. But at the same time, I mean, the Yankees are a team that can manufacture offense.
Well, now they can because they turned into the Mets.
Pretty much.
Yeah, they turned into a National League team.
Yeah.
Well, that's why I was surprised they threw that kid Rook Davis in with the trade, because they just put him on the 40-man to protect him during the Rule 5 draft. So
right.
They clearly wanted to hold on to him. He's 21 years old, you know, fireballer, and so I was surprised they threw him in.
Chance to Chapman, though. They don't come by every day.
105 miles an hour, that's how fast he drives.
He's Cuban, right?
He's Cuban.
How old is he? Do we know that?
I'm going to say 27.
Everybody's like 27, 28 there. Nobody ever ages.
I'm just saying that ball's not slowing down yet. So
The only problem with guys that are 27 is they want a 10-year contract.
You know,
when they're done, they want, at least 6 or 7 years. Well, you know, you're going to have a guy that's going to be throwing 85 when he's 35.
Yeah, look. Yeah, it's pretty good still. So the Yankees got that they're going to short that. And now they're talking about, do they now trade Andrew Miller for like some sort of offensive piece? But again,
they could. They could package him and Gardner for anybody.
Yeah, they really could. But the Yankees just manufacture offense. I think they'll leave it the way it is. You look at how the Mets are. Like, everybody's saying trade one of the starters. Why?
But
I'm talking about the young side. Jonathan Neese doesn't really count. No. But this is what Sandy Alderson said. He basically said, why not? Why should we? We can trade somebody else. That guy, was it Miles Austin or somebody in the minors that they traded for Cespedes? Like, he's all the way in single A. We're not going to have to worry about somebody there when we've got six major league starters up here. Right. And trade one of them away. He's older.
Cincinnati was smart, though. They were smart because they unloaded a guy they really couldn't use. When you only have 43 opportunities the whole year to save a game, what good is it, you know, to have the Corvette in the parking lot if you don't drive?
Right, yeah.
Well, they're rebuilding, too, because they shipped Todd Frazier over to
the Todd father.
Chicago, right? And they lost Leak to free agency.
That's right.
Lakewood Zone.
Yeah. That's right, yes. Central Jersey. So I'd still love to see Todd Frazier come back to the New York area, but that's just me. A lot of movement. Cincinnati's obviously, they want to start over, and they figure, let's start here. They wanted to get more for Chapman, but then all these reports come out. Now everybody's saying like 80 games he might be suspended, but I don't know.
That's a huge saving.
Yeah. Pretty much. Yeah, they don't have to pay him, and you know. But then you only—it's almost like you get him as a midseason.
Where did they come up with that arbitrary number?
I don't know.
80 games.
Well, I think they're just.
Isn't a season like 162?
162, half the games.
Half a year, 81 games.
But did you give the guy one day off?
Well, how about this? How about this? I'll put this out there, because he could also appeal it, because.
He only slapped her?
Well,
I mean, come on.
Let me use this as a juxtaposition. Jose Reyes. Jose Reyes. Good point. Jose Reyes was arrested, charged, a report was filed.
Shortstop. He can't swing.
But there is a police report about his domestic abuse.
Okay.
With this happened in October, and nobody heard about it until just before Christmas.
Right.
I mean, this is just why now it's coming out.
Now it's just slap heard around the world.
I wouldn't go that far. But now you have So now he could appeal it. Like, honestly, he could appeal it. Like, Jose Reyes could be, look, I did it.
Well,
like,
the NFL, with Beckham, they do that overnight. They have, like, a night judge.
Sure.
You know, in baseball, it's like, you know, you got to make an appointment.
Right. But I'm just saying that the first offense for a doping issue in baseball is 50 games.
Right. Correct.
So I'm going to say, not that I say that that is what he should get, but I'm going to guess they would say 40 games. I wouldn't go 80 games. But even if it was 80 games, you're still basically picking up a guy at the trade deadline.
But on, and what your theory of what you're saying is that when you have domestic abuse, it's 80 games.
Right.
But if the person was under 18 or a child, you get 99% of the year, like Adrian Peterson got.
That is very true. No, and that, look, it's all arbitrary. Yeah, it all is.
When you look at Greg Hardy and he...
He's still playing.
Didn't even
kill
get a slap
somebody,
on the wrist.
Wasn't it?
Yeah. No. Well,
who's the guy that was killing somebody playing for the Cowboys? Remember, he was in the drunk driving.
Oh, the offensive line. Yeah. He killed his teammate. It was his teammate.
Yeah. Yeah. And the mother loves him.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad he was with you when he died.
Well, she make apple pie for him? What's going on? Cheesecake? I know. Look, it's all arbitrary, and obviously there's something there, but I don't want to go too much into it. It's just one of those things that, look, that's the big issue, especially when you're coming to New York. It's one thing when it's in a smaller metropolis like Cincinnati, but now you're in New York. And with the thing with Yasiel Puig now, because that also came out, he got into a fight outside of a nightclub. Again, no arrest, no report filed, but the video comes out and he's just punched, blindsided a guy, so it looks bad.
Well, the players, when they went to the ownership and said, you know, they'd sign with the team as long as they got rid of him, that's got to tell you something right there.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true.
I had a feeling from the beginning of the year, I don't know why, but why nobody wants Cespedes is beyond me. Why would that guy be traded
He plays when he wants to.
He plays when he wants to, but he's not Puig. He's not a ball buster with the players. He's good in the clubhouse.
Yeah.
He doesn't cause any crap, you know.
He's not poison.
Aside from occasionally not running out of ground ball. I mean, is that what you're going to hold them back on?
People want honest effort in sports.
Oh, they do, but they're, you know.
Just because you have a big race next week, it doesn't mean you take it easy when we bet on you this week.
Just remember, Bryce Harper, who is now the NL MVP, the reigning NL MVP, was pulled out of games last year, and he got into a fight with Jonathan Papelbon because Papelbon said he wasn't trying hard enough.
Papelbon would fight with his mother. Come on.
That's true.
And his mother would win.
You're probably right.
She has a better fastball.
So, but it's an effort thing. And with Cespedes, look, we've said it before. He's been on four teams in, 7 years? It's four in the last 2 years.
Well, there's two teams, Two New York teams.
Right.
The Yankees, he would be tremendous on.
Right.
The Mets, he'd be tremendous on. But neither one of them, all of a sudden, Yankees ran out of money. Right? Yankees don't want to pay no money to anybody anymore because they saw the writing on the wall. They saw how all these small market teams were doing good by just bringing people through the system, and they'd rather sacrifice a year.
That's very true.
But here's the lesson we learned. Bill Belichick once said, talent sets the floor.
Right.
Character sets the ceiling.
So Aaron Hernandez no? Is he subterranean?
He's some kind of character.
Yeah, that's for sure.
I think, too, the Yankees, they're going to eat this year because, who is it? I think CeCe, Beltran, and A-Rod, all their contracts are up at the end of the year.
Right.
So they'll have money to spend next year.
Why don't they spend the money this year?
That sounds like the Mets used to be. Wait till next year.
Well, how many people came off the books for the Mets this year?
Nobody wants
to. They turned around and signed Cologne for less money.
Right.
Right?
Well, Nice
and Murphy and Cespedes are gone.
He's
41
years old.
Do something. Get somebody. Don't come up with Diazza, for Pete's sake. Come on. No. They already got Diazza. They had Newinghouse. Diazza.
Yeah. I don't know. Wow. It's going to be interesting. That's all I'll say. But I want to jump over quickly to college football. It's almost over in the bowl season. Last night was the rarely watched because the ratings took a horrible hit, and it didn't just help that it was New Year's Eve because people are out. The Michigan State Alabama game, like it ended at like 11:30.
It ended after the first quarter.
Well, that too. But like the actual game. So if this is going to, because now it's going to be another 4 to 5 years before these games are actually played on New Year's Day again.
Correct.
Because of the Rose Bowl, the granddaddy of them all can't be moved. Heaven forbid.
I'll be on Social Security by then.
I think you're right.
Me too.
But yeah, those games were clunkers. I mean, at least the Oklahoma-Clemson game was a little bit interesting. But
for the first half,
and then Clemson just ran away with it. And good for them. Good for them.
Shut the door.
But then, of course, Alabama, as always, was it 38-0? 38-0 over Michigan State. Michigan State was Connor Cook is supposed to be, and they shut them all down.
Where was the defense? Michigan State vaulted number three defense in the country. Where was it?
I've heard it said by some analysts that Alabama's got the 33rd ranked defense in the country. The first 32 are NFL defenses,
right.
And this is in there, and they're right behind apparently the Browns, I guess. So you know all that stuff, and then so yeah, now it's Clemson versus Alabama, truly David versus Goliath for the January 11th game. It's going to be that one's. I really want Clemson. I'm kind of sick of Alabama by now. You know, Nick Saban is a genius and all this stuff. No, I want Clemson. I want a team that's been really, even though they've been the number one team all season, they've just been disrespected left and right. They play in a weak conference. Look at who their opponents are. They wouldn't survive. They would have three losses for sure in the SEC and all these other places. I just want them.
It's all about Clemson.
Okay, so that means that the Carolina Panthers are going to win a Super Bowl because they're in the exact same
road
as they are. They've been the best all year.
Right.
They won every game. They beat everybody you put in front of them.
True.
And in the NFL and the college, it's not who you play. It's when you play them.
That's very true. But, I mean, so well-rounded is Clemson. So well-rounded that I just would like to see it happen. Like, I was a big fan of when Boise State started their little run back in the mid-2000s. You know, anybody who comes in and busts up the party, I think in college football, I think it's fun. And the only way I'm going to be satisfied really is when there's an 8-team playoff.
Because
you look at Stan.
Somebody will want a 10-team playoff.
No, but eight teams is perfect. Look, because there's always that one team in the fourth and fifth position, like Notre Dame got jumped by Oklahoma, and all this other stuff. But now you have 8 teams. All right, let's put it out there.
By Ohio
look at
State today.
Look at Stanford today beating up on Iowa.
Shut them out.
Ed McCaffrey's son, Christian McCaffrey, who, quite honestly, he probably should have been the Heisman over Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
300-plus all-purpose yards, pretty much.
He broke the
Rose Bowl record.
Yeah, he broke the Rose Bowl record with 360.
That's amazing. I mean, Stanford constantly puts out, they put out Luck, they put out Richard Sherman. I mean, this is a football factory at this point. Right. And then, boom. I mean, they should definitely have beaten a team like Oklahoma or Michigan State. At least give them that opportunity.
Well, Notre Dame had their three opportunities. They lost to Clemson by one.
Everybody thought
they were the next greatest thing since Clemson.
Yeah.
And then they dropped the ball on Stanford, and they got crushed by Ohio State.
Yeah. It's true. Yeah, Ohio State. Yeah. Look, hey. But that's my drawback with college football is it's just like, well, you beat that person. So, like, I love the NFL where it's sort of around, like, everybody can win. I understand with recruitment, that's different. You know, this team just has better talent.
So you like the parity.
Yeah, a little bit.
When there was 22 losing teams and only 10 winning teams in the entire league, that's new parity in the NFL.
But losing is one thing. It's another thing when everybody finishes 7-9, that's about as close to 500.
It's not how you play the game. It's whether you win or lose.
Yeah, it's parity, like you said, any given Sunday. Look what happened last week.
But look,
Atlanta came out.
Yeah.
Out of nowhere, right?
It's true, yeah. Beating up on Carolina. But, I mean, look, just in college football, it's, you know, you go 10 and you have one loss. You have two losses in a very long season. And you're just
discounted.
All right, well, you're done. Yeah, like, no, that's not always happened. Not all undefeated teams are not the same.
Yeah, well, when you got a computer running things, what do you expect?
That's pretty much, it's true. So, I mean, 8 teams, like, look. I'm sorry, the Tax Slayer Bowl, you know, I'm not going to be really...
Tax Slayer Bowl.
I mean, just... Who is it?
Chick-fil-A Bowl?
Yeah, the first bowl game
this
year...
That's not played on Sunday, is it?
No, it's definitely
not. House Bowl.
But one of the first bowl games this year was Appalachian State versus Ohio University. You can't do better than that? I'm sorry, I don't care what their record says.
Yeah, but there's so many bowl games.
There are.
So many games.
But how simple can those just be turned into playoff games?
But how deep... Are you going to go? I mean,
eight games.
They had teams. They had teams that barely finished 500. There was a couple under 500 teams that were in bowl games this year.
But that's right. If you have some of those bowl games become playoff games, you automatically discount these teams that have, like, every time I hear we're bowl eligible. Like that, like really, that's the best you can do.
Sounds like hockey. We're going to make the playoffs.
Exactly.
They should just start the season And every team is in a bowl game from the first game of the season.
Oh, I like that.
There's so many, it seems like that.
and the winners advance.
Yes, everybody gets a bowl game.
And the winners advance every week, and that's it. You got a one-game season. 110,000 people in Michigan. We lost. See ya next year.
It's not a horrible idea. So.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks very much, guys. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Jim, Casey, Dad, this was a lot of fun. We'll come back to you on a more regular schedule coming up. For the first round of the playoffs next week. So everybody enjoy. Happy New Year. Andrew, please take it away.
This has been another episode of Everyman Sports. The show's music is Cold Funk by Kevin MacLeod and is licensed under CC Attribution 3.0. Everyman Sports can be found on Facebook.com, where you can like it to receive updates and news. Visit Everyman Sports in the iTunes store to leave a review of the show. Also, visit everymansports.podbean.com directly to comment and support. Everyman Sports can be contacted directly at everymansports@gmail.com.